Okay, so thank you all. I requested that we record that. Thank you all for coming. This is Rabbani Malki Bina, all the way from Israel. Rabbani Bina is the founder and director of Matan, which is now an amazing learning institution, originally founded as a Beit Midrash for women based in Israel. Rabbani Bina actually studied originally in Nechalah, and then a master's degree in Bible and history in Rebel at YU.
Bible, not so much history.
Okay.
I never so good in history.
It's okay. We don't have to know that. After that, Rabbani Bina went on to teach at the Rothschild School in Jerusalem, and then got involved in many social action programs, promoting the status of Jewish people in Russia, and then, at least according to your biography online, your live stream was to found the Midrash for Women, as we just heard a little bit from Rabbi Tina. Everything started around a dining room table and really bringing together women who were passionate about learning Torah and about raising the level of Torah learning for women. And now Matan is an amazing institution that runs, aside from really high level Torah learning programs, 3-year degree programs in Gemara, 2-year programs in Tanakh, if any of you are interested in that. Also, outreach programs to the rest of the community, bat mitzvah programs. I don't really know the full extent of everything you run, but it's amazing. And thank you for all that you have done for the world of women's learning, and thank you for coming to share with us today.
Thank you, Leora, for inviting me. And I have, I had 2 meetings before, and I have 8 o'clock. But it just bidiyuk fit in, or I kind of also made the meetings, adjusted my meetings so that I had I had a 2:30 meeting and a 3:30 meeting, and then at 8 o'clock. So I said, so this fits in very nicely, and I think it's important too that young people such as yourselves are learning seriously, you're learning intensely, and so it's nice to share some ideas, some learning with you. I don't want to forget that this is just, if you want afterwards, there is a little bit more here about the scholars program, about the different things. And this is, we have also, I don't know, those any big Tanakh buffs, there's an online, you can do what we have now, or when you finish Stern, I know when you're in college, everything is so busy in it. But in 5 years, you can do all of Nevi'im and Ketuvim. You get guide sheets online, starting from Yoshua. They're now in Keter Torah and Tinek. They're doing a group. You start from Yoshua, and each week do 2 prakim. And in 5 years, you do all of Nevi'im and Ketuvim. And so you can do it from your house and study it either on your own, chavruta, families, however that's done. So it's just a little bit of information. Now, I have some source sheets, but I'll need it back. I'll need them back, so it's usually nice to write or something, but if you could write on another page so I could I could have them back. I like teaching with the source sheet. It's you know, one doesn't have to, but somehow I like doing that. I think it may have something to do when I was in the 10th grade. We had biology, and we had the most. I was in a Beis Yaakov school in Baltimore, and we had a very, very fine biology teacher and the most advanced biology textbook. And I remember there was a chapter on diseases. And I even, it was in the 10th grade, but it made a big impression on me. So there was a test, and you had the test. They asked you different questions on diseases, and on it was diabetes. Is diabetes hereditary or not? And I had remembered that the teacher said in class that it was hereditary. So there were it was a multiple choice, a few different answers, and I put hereditary, and she marked it wrong, and I was very upset because I was sure she said that in the class. And, whatever she said, maybe she said it, maybe she didn't. She didn't really remember exactly what she said, but she showed me the textbook. Showed me the textbook, and the textbook said there was a tendency for it to be hereditary, not that it was hereditary. And there's a difference. I think one of the other answers was something like a tendency to be hereditary or hereditary. And I, I, you know, marked this hereditary because I remembered it, whatever. Anyway, so I had the 5 points taken off, and I would have probably got a 95 and not the 100 that I wanted. So I came crying to my father, who was a Rebbe of your father's, in Baltimore, and I said to him, I said, is that fair? You know, she even said, she may, the teacher said, she may have said hereditary, and I wrote that, and she said it, and how could she take the points off, and da-da-da. So my father said, what's written in the textbook? Was ist geschrieben, you know, whatever, we talked a little bit Yiddish and half. What's written in the textbook? And, you know, I said, you know, the textbook is written, you know, the answer I didn't put. He said, look, you have to, it was your fault. You can't just rely on what the teacher says. You have to see what's written and go back to the sources. And I think that really, that story, the fact that I remember it, and it made a big impression on me. And I always, you know, with like if people would say some things, I would say, okay, maybe, but let's see. What does it say? What are the sources? And I think that was also a reason that when we were talking a little bit before, why I felt learning Gemara was important to me, because it, you know, it's just someone said, oh, this is halacha, it's written this, that, you know, and I remember I was saying, we'd get someone say, oh, but you're a girl, I can't show you, it's this, that. What kind of business is that? And, you know, it's like, I want, this is something, I'm gonna do this halacha, I'm gonna learn this, and this. I would like to see the source, and I would like to know how to be able to learn the source. And it doesn't matter, whatever it is, of course, in Torah, that's right, the Ikar Bar Chayim, but in anything, it's not just something for Torah. There are things you have to really substantiate, you know, if you're a journalist, you're this, you're doing history, you know, things have to be substantiated. You have to have sources, you have to go back to original sources and know how to deal with it. Okay, so that's what I'd like to talk about, teach here. Discuss with everyone the Yaakov and Esav. The whole, it's a difficult story. Okay, in Tanakh, what exactly happened with the brachot, with the Rama'ut? How could it have happened? Yaakov's lying. Rivka's putting him up to this. I mean, you know, these are serious questions. The whole future of Am Yisrael comes from there, the brachot that were given to Yaakov and not to Esav, in a sense, were stolen. So how do we a little bit of a different a look at trying to analyze some of these issues. Now, what I think, it starts before that, and that's why here in source one, going back before when they were just born, Yaakov and Esav, right in the beginning of Parshat Toldot, Vayigdulu ha'na'arim, Vayihi Esav, right, Esav, these are from the Pesukim, on the source sheet I have at source one, Vayihi Esav, Ish Sadeh, Yodei Atzayid, I'm sorry, Ish Yodei Atzayid, Ish Sadeh, V'Yakov, Ish Tam, Yoshev O'Halim. Now, right, Vayahav, Yitzchak et Esav, Zayin Defiv, Rivka, Ohevet et Yaakov. Right now, the Torah, right, Hakadosh Baruch Hu goes out of his way to tell us two different people, right, very different, as they grow up, right, and you know, until they're grown up, when they're still boys, young boys, you don't see the difference. But Vayigdalu, maybe it was Bar Mitzvah age, a little before, a little after. They're grown up, and we really see who they are. And Esav, Ish Yodei Atzayid, Ish Sadeh. Like, let's say, Eina Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto, Ish Yodei Atzayid, a man who knew, right? He wasn't just a hunter, right? I say, he knew hunting. He knew how to do the hunting, how to lay the traps, how to, you know, kind of deceive the animals, you know, whatever, you put a trap, you know, you want to catch someone, you put the cheese, or you put, you know, however you put the net, and you ish yodei atzayid, ish sadeh, definitely talks, right, the field, the world, he went outside, he was out, the man of the world, right? And Yaakov ish tam, simple, didn't know how to trap, didn't know how to connive or try, even in, you know, in the pshat sense of it, ish tam, simple, yoshev ohalim, sitting inside, right? A yoshev, like right, sitting, usually right, you're sitting inside as opposed to ish sadeh, yoshev ohalim. And actually it's very interesting, the right, because we're so familiar with Rashi and the Midrash. I would say, I'm sure, even 10 out of 10 would say when you say Yoshev Ohalim, that which Ohalim are we talking about?
Batei Midrash.
What?
Batei Midrash.
Batei Midrash, Ohel Shev Eiver, right? And that's the Midrash, and definitely it's right, the sense of sitting inside, sitting and learning Torah, Avodat, right, the rising in Avodat Hashem. But the Rashbam, right, Eyamik Rayotei Dei Midei Pshuto, he says, Yoshev Ohalim, the ohalim of the shepherds. And he would sit in the ohalim. There were times that the shepherds go out and they tend to the flock, but then when they're not, when they're like, if it's a break, you know, the sheep are grazing, the shepherd sits in the tent that they're ohalim. He proves from the Mikra, he proves different the shepherd. I thought even that, right, in the sense of Yodea Tzayid, knowing and trapping the animals, even if we take it in the Yoshev Ohalim as a shepherd, so I was thinking to myself, what does a shepherd do? A shepherd feeds the animal, takes care of the animal. As opposed to the hunter who lays the trap to kill the animal. But already there, you see, even without saying that Ohalim or Ohalei Shem Be'Ever, Ohalei Beit Midrash, but even taking it in a more short sense, it's a very different type of lifestyle. When you say, right, Yodei Etzayid, Ish Sadeh, you're going out there, you're laying traps, you're conniving, you're setting, you know, trapping the animals, killing the animals, right, Yodei Etzayid, you have to kill. Right now, the shepherd tends the flock, shares the flock. Maybe from time to time they have to slaughter an animal for food for someone, but basically, right, Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd, Rachel, Rivka, they tended to the flocks. There were many flocks. We say about Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, that from the fact that they took such good care of the sheep and gave them life and raised them and gave them to eat and to graze, as opposed to the hunter who's just looking for the animals, giving him the food to kill him, right? That these Moshe and David, etc., that Hashem saw how well they took care of the flock, and from that they became manhigim ba'am Yisrael. We took such good care of your own, of your animal sheep, you'll take right alachat kama v'kama when you become a leader in Am Yisrael. And this is right, two different types of people, right? And I'd like to even take it right in the Midrash, which many of you know more than the Pshat. That's why maybe I may be elaborating a little bit more on the Pshat, because it's not that's less known. Right, with the Midrash, if you'll read here, right, Yodei Etzayid Latzud v'Laramot et Aviv v'Piv, right, v'Piv v'Shalo Abba he'et Masrim et Hamelach v'Tetevim, right, that he would trap him in his mouth, not so much of the animals. But right, he would ask him these questions, you know, even like chumrah kind of questions, right? Chumrah questions, how do you take the maaser on which you don't have to take, on salt, and on that, oh, I'm so religious, I'm so careful, I'm in mitzvot, I'm strong, on salt, which there isn't so much hana'ah. Kisavur aviv, shehu medakdek b'mitzvot. Right, he not so much trapped and connived with the animals, deceived the animals, but people. Right? Ish sadeh, kimashma'o, adam batel, vitzodeh, vikashto, chayot, vofot, that he has nothing, right, he's not really doing much, but killing, trapping, and killing the animals. And the opposite, tam. Right? Enova kibacholeyo, ela kilibo, kengbiv, not in any way of conniving and deceiving, but pure and simple, and whatever is in his heart, that's what he says. Mishay no harif l'ramot, karui tam. Right, this one was harif l'ramot, whether it was with animals, whether with you, with human beings, right, and Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, right here, the famous Rashi, right? Yoshev Ohalim, Aldo Shashem, Aldo Ve'Aver, that's why two Ohalim, right? Yoshem and Aver, where we would learn, Avodat Hashem, learn, Yerat Shamayim, right? And also in the word Befiv, that in the next Pasuk, Kitzayit Befiv, that he loved Yitzchak, right? Also we see the dichotomy with Yitzchak and Rivka, that Tzayit Befiv, that on the Pshat level, because he provided him with food, he would go and hunt and bring the food, the stew, venison stew or whatever, right? Bring it to Yitzchak. Yitzchak who was blind, Yitzchak who didn't have such abilities, you know, loved Esav. Esav provided for him, cared for him. These are right, the hunting that he did, whether he approved or not, but he then did kibud av v'em, and Yitzchak appreciated that of Esav and loved him, or that he tricked him, right? That's the more midrashic, that he tricked him and he thought he was so wonderful and so medakdek v'mitzvot, and that he tricked him into thinking that he was worthy of his love, and he would be a ish Yirei Hashem, ish that could have started Am Yisrael, and he loved Esav. He saw the good points in Esav, the Rivka, even though he knew he was a man of the world, so to speak, and not the man of purity and learning Torah that Yaakov was, but Rivka sensed the truth, sensed the genuineness, the depth of Yaakov, which Esav didn't have, even if he had certain good virtues, right? Because then the Midrash paints Esav in very bold strokes of Avodah Zarah, and not really emphasizing if there are good attributes, but Yaakov, the question being, and Esav and Yitzhak, loving Esav, we have to ask a question. I mean, we know that Yitzchak was the set mima, was the right ish kadosh l'Hashem. Because he loved Esav, he saw certain right, he saw certain potential, saw certain depth, and certain of the good midot of Esav. He loved, but Rivka, many times this is also women having been more intuitive with their children, sense of psychology. Some people studying early childhood psychology. Many times that women are more attuned and intuitive, and somehow Rivka sensed the genuineness of and the depth of Yaakov as opposed to Esav. Okay, anyway, they're growing up, and this is it. Even becomes more embellished, their ways, the ways of Esav, the ways of Yaakov, and then Yitzhak becomes older. When this happened, when we go move on to Parakav Zion. And Yitzchak tells him, right, Yitzchak's eyes, he can't see already so well. Karov Lamut, I'm closer to death, right? How old was Yitzchak and how old were Esav and Yaakov when the whole story of the Rama'ut and the different brachot, how old was, did you ever see those Rashis? There are these long Rashis that go into it. Mera, I'm not, you know, it's not a test here or anything like that, but.
Yitzchak was around, I think, 122, because he had the Kabbalah that when you're within 5 years of when one of your parents died, you might start to die. And
Sarah was 127.
Right. He was, I think, 60 when Yaakov and Esau were born. So that would make them 62,
63, right, by around 62. Rashi, it sounded more like 63, but yes, excellent. And just by the way, Yitzchak didn't die until he was 180. Quite a few years before he died, but maybe he had the sense of an impending death, and somehow he wanted to settle this and wanted to give this bracha to Esau. We'll talk in a minute which bracha, but that somehow he wanted to give a bracha to Esau. And he calls Esau, right, and asks him, tells him to go out and get him some dinner and this, and then the bracha will come, they'll have eaten, they'll this, and he'll be satisfied and be able to give him the bracha. Okay, and we all know, right, Rivka overhears and she senses that Yaakov has been duped to a certain extent by Esav, who's very, very savvy. right? You know, and again, it could work both ways. It could have its positive things, its negative things. But as a man of the world, right? Man of the world, right? Ish sadeh, going out, he was savvy. He knew how to present himself. He knew how to show Esav his good points, and he knew how to show Esav, knew how to show Yitzchak. And right, if I get the names mixed up, you know what I'm saying. And Rivka said, no, you have to go. You have to, you know, you'll have to do this trickery. Yaakov, yeah. What kind of business? He's Ishtam, Ishamet, right? The Chotam of Yaakov, right? Then Emet to Yaakov. Like, and here she's asking him to do the exact opposite. What did Rivka think? You know, and he agreed, and no, so we have the question of Yaakov's agreeing, but still the idea is Rivka's, and remember, Kililatcha Alai, don't worry if your father curses you for this, it'll fall on me, don't worry to do it, right? What did Rivka think? Why did Rivka want to do this? Right now, I'm kind of, you know, paraphrasing, and we'll look at one or two of the lines. We'll look at one or two of the lines of Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch. Because he, you know, clearly there's Ramaut. And Yaakov, Yitzchak also says it. Va achicha b'mirma. Right, there's Ramaut. I've been fooled, I've been deceived, I've been duped by your brother. Va achicha b'mirma, deception. Right, so he realizes it, and I think Rivka knew also that it would come out. It's not, you know, Yitzchak would at some point find out. So what was she trying to gain? Okay. Now the you'll turn over the page, and it's here where it says Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, source 6. Look in the second column there. Second column, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth line. Ma biksha lahasig ba'otah mischak. What did, you know, this game that she's playing, right? It's a charade, basically. What did she intend to gain with this charade? Prat le'etzem ha'mischak gufo. Other than the game itself. Somehow, Rivka sensed she would gain something from the charade. That it was worth it for her to do the charade and to do this deception, because even if Yitzchak would find out and be angry, he would learn something from it. Okay, now, what can you learn when you find out that you've been deceived? What can you learn about yourself? I see your. What can you learn about yourself when you find out?
When you learn that you can be deceived.
Ah, excellent. You learn that you can be deceived. You learn that you yourself are a little tam, a little simplistic, a little unsophisticated, and therefore maybe you have been deceived in the past, and maybe it'll tell you to reevaluate and look at your sons again, because here Yaakov, who you thought was one way, becomes, and you, and he's Esav. He pretends to be Esav. Maybe Esav all along was also deceiving you and pretending to be more like Yaakov when he wasn't, asking the questions and being savvy and knowing how to do it, right? And this is also here in the Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch. Look at the end, towards the end, that third paragraph. The third paragraph is like about the sixth line. Ma biksha ata? What did she want? What did Rivka want now? Ma yachla levakesh? Rak zot. Lavgin lefanav ve'eze mida yacholim habriyot lignov et dato. right? How other people, i.e., Asaph, could really deceive him. And he goes on, the Rosh Hashanah Mephal Hirsch will go on, that when he hears this, what Vayecharad, Vayecharad Charada Gedola, he's in great fear and shaking. What happened here? In a sense, realizing, wow, I've been deceived. Maybe I've been deceived before. What's happening? Right? And then at the end of that pasuk, he says, Gam Baruch Yeh, that the bracha that I gave to, right, that I gave to Yaakov, thinking that it was Esau, but it should really be his. It's not that he stole it. He's the person who has to get the bracha. When he vayecharad charada gedola, and this he says in a sense, right, Rivka was successful in her mission. And he's successful in her mission in kind of waking up Yaakov. Like, look, this can happen. And here, you know, realize because he didn't just take the bracha, but really, gam baruch yeh, really he deserves the bracha. Now, I once, you know, it's a little bit, it's not exactly the same thing, but you know, like showing Yaakov through a charade. You know, sometimes in life, like I remember, not exactly the same thing, but I don't know why the story came to mind. You know, it's not that same thing, giving a person a dose of his own medicine, but like, you know, here it's more the dose of his own medicine would be to Esav. But if Esav has been with Ramaut, so Rivka takes the Ramaut of Esav and puts it on Yaakov to wake up Yitzchak so that he realizes who is Esav and who is Yaakov, and giving the bracha and saying, Gam Baruch Yeh, no, really, I know, and it does belong to Yaakov and not to Esav. I remember at the yeshiva, my husband in the Tivarye, many years ago, it was still Yeshiva Kada. There was a boy, and they were painting, the boys were talking, and someone said, you know, I made a trick and I put an egg in somebody's bed, a raw egg, you know, and they sat down on the raw egg, oh, and it was so funny, and that, you know, and the kid was, of course, you know, very upset, and this, and then, you know, they're like, what do you do? You know, it's like, it's not the worst thing in the world, but still, it's like, and it was like a kid that maybe didn't have so many friends, and this, and, you know, like everyone was talking what to do as a punishment and how to do it. And I didn't do it. Anyway, the boy who did the trick was a guest of ours that Friday night. And I knew that whole week, everyone, you know, with the boy, with the eggs, with this, and everyone was talking about it, you know, and like, some looked at him as a big hero, you know, oh, he did the egg, and this, oh, how did he do it? So, anyway, so I didn't ask anybody, you know, but what I did, I had this very hot red pepper. And in my chicken soup, I put everyone paprika, which is not so spicy, and on his, I put the hot red pepper. And everyone's eating the chicken soup, and you know, everyone loves the chicken soup Friday night, it gets you warm. And, you know, I just said, I thought that this is, you should, you know, since you thought it was such a big joke and this, I thought you should feel what it's like when you're duped and when you're the one who's the butt of the joke. And I was like some, so now again, it's the Lahavdil and everything, but I think, I think, you know, it's a lot of ingenuity on the part of Rivka to use, you know, to use that method, to use the method of Esav to really wake up Yitzchak to see, like, you know, she's using Yitzchak's own method and to show Yitzchak who Esav really was and that he could have been deceived. Anyway, I think it's beautiful, beautiful, Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, as he has many beautiful things all over, but just especially very sacred, very shit. Anyway, but okay, one now. I remember, and I'm not, you know, I want to hear your opinion. Okay, Rashi, let's look. I brought the Rashi here on Bereshit Kaf Chet, right? No, Rashi 4, source 4, you see? Okay. Anochi Esav Bechorecha, Anochi Kama, right? Anochi Hamevi Lecha, I am the one who's now bringing you your dinner, right? Ve'esav Hu Bechorecha. But Esav is your firstborn. Okay? And there are even explanations that it's like Anochi and not Ani, because Anochi you can stop, and it's grammatically, Anochi, Esav Bechorecha, that you could do that with the word Anochi, but it's a word in its own, and not with Ani. Okay. And then the sort, and then 5. Because he says, if it's a question or a statement, but Yitzchak says, you're Esav my son, and he says, ani. Like, I am, basically, right? I am he, and what does Rashi say? Vayomer ani, like, I am Esav, basically, right? Lo amar ani Esav, ela ani. Now, what is your reaction? We don't have opinions. This is the Midrash. This is Rashi. We're not saying, what are your thoughts on something like this? I see you're smiling. You have to talk. I see who wants to say something or who thinks something. And I want you to know we're not being judgmental. We're trying to understand the MS. We're trying to understand here. Yeah.
I really think that Rashi's trying very, very hard.
To
skew it in a good way, like, okay, so he wasn't exactly lying, he was just, he was twisting it, like, it wasn't so bad, but...
Right, that
I think that this is just clear that we're trying very hard.
Right, it kind of, it's like an in-between, like, he's not really lying, b'achicha b'mirma. Yitzchak said it himself. So the Midrash is trying to say, how could words of Yaakov and Emet, how could false words come out of the path of Yaakov? So we kind of, it's a little kvetch here, kvetch there, this kind of little acrobatics, Anochi, Esav Bechorecha, it's like, kind of almost this kind of nishtahi, nishtaher, there is deception, but there really isn't deception. It makes it a little bit easier, a little bit more palatable. It makes it a little bit easier to swallow. In a sense of that it was you could it's a little loophole or a little. Fine. This is how that there was Mirma. But he. Tax lawyers would have had it. It's like he did it in a way. He did it. Look, we sell our chametz with different things. If you can try it. My husband always gets very upset that Americans sell even bread almost in the freezer. It's a little bit there. It's like if it's still yours and you sell it and you're going to use it afterwards, it's not really hefset. But we have to see, how much you could really do, just, but somehow, that. That the Midrash Beholzo wants to, even though agreeing that there's Mirma and that there was Mirma, it had to be Mirma, it had to be this way for Am Yisrael, but in the way that it was said, there was something of the, that we could see that it wasn't full lying, it wasn't, he didn't say Ani Esav Bechorecha, but Anochi, which you could put that comment there. Okay. So these are, and I think the Rav Shem Shmuel Fadel Hirsch, even though he says that we're not coming to defend and we're this, sometimes there is a certain mirma that it has to be, Rivka had to do it, Yaakov had to do it for the reasons that we were talking before. Okay. Now, and I want to end here, and it's a new approach. Last few years I've come across this. It's very interesting because when we were speaking at dinner, I have a passion for Gemara learning, and Baruch Hashem has been able to do what I've been able to do with raising a family and other things that I'm doing, a few other odds and ends. running an institute for 23 years, so I didn't have a lot of, but so I'm able to learn less. I think that's definitely one of my big disappointments in having to run something is you have less time for your own learning. So take that in mind. But whatever was important for Amisrael to do it this way, to do it that way. But so I don't always have time to do the more, you know, as people were telling me, Gemara, it's a hard, you know, hard shear, and you want to go over, and you only have time for the Ian learning that I would like to do. Do you want something sometimes that a little bit more for the neshama? Also, till you get to the end of the Gemara, until you figure it out, until it could really give you that I don't know, Yirat Shamayim or something very special, could take a long time. So, and also, I think the last, I don't know, 5-7 years, I connected more with my Hasidic roots. My Bubi was from the family of Rabbi Elimelech Milizhensk. I don't know if anybody heard, one of the great Hasidic readers. So I started, I just in my, you know, kind of my young years, my young, older years, so I started reading more Hasidut. And you know, you try a little of this, a little of that, of different, you know, which of the Hasidic writings I would find that are most connected to me, most that I would connect to, and somehow the Sfat Emet, the second Ger Rebbe, grandson of the Chiddush Hayom, that I've you know, kind of been reading more of the Sfat Emet lately, and he has a very novel approach on this whole. An interesting take on this whole Yaakov Esau. Okay, so if we'll kind of get this Sfat Emet understanding of what's happening here. It's on. We'll read a few of them. Let's look at source 8. Ubinyan shalakach birkat Esav, Moshe Katuv, vayikach birkatecha. Right, that he took your bracha in a sense, right, which is why rightly success to Esav. V'gam k'tiv anochi Esav b'churecha. Right, I am Esav. Right, knowing fully well that he was Yaakov, and he stands there, and you know, right, where they say netzach nechusha, right, and just lies boldly. Anochi Esav b'churecha. He says, Chalila li Yaakov avinu alav shalom l'shaker v'lizol ma she'no shalom. What do you mean, if this bracha really was the bracha that should have gone to Esav, then how could it be, how could Yaakov lie, how could Yaakov steal and take that bracha if it didn't belong to him? Aval ha'inyan hu, lefi ma shekatuv chazal, lekol echad yesh chelek v'gan eden u'gehenom. Each person has a certain part, I think it's also a part, not just a reward, but a part inside him, a spiritual part, if it's Gan Eden or Gehenom, right? Zacha, notel chelko v'chelek chavero. If he really merits and he develops himself, he takes sometimes his share, his being or his share in Olam Haba, his personality, and also his friends. Kinyan shenemar yachin rasha v'tzadik yilbash, that the rasha prepares something, but then the tzadik in the end will wear it, will really carry it through. Ubevadai Yitzchak alav hashalom, Yitzchak avinu alav hashalom, shahav et Esav, ra'ah chelek hamukhan lo b'gan Eden. He saw, as we were talking in the beginning of this year, he saw that Esav could have been, should have been, would have been. He saw that potential that Esav had. He'd bring in the dinner, a son who brings the father, he's out in the world and out here, and every night, I don't know, every night, every other night, would bring his father dinner, such great respect and love that he had for his father. He loved what Esav could have been. That chelek of Gan Eden that really he could have had, that chelek of Nimi, of chesed, of Avat Hashem, whatever could have been. Ach, ki lo zecha Esav l'taken et atzmo, ulekabel zot hachelek hamuchan lo. He just didn't work on it, which Rivka sensed, right? Didn't work on it, didn't get it, wasn't able to really, right? Le taken et atzmo, le taken et midotav, to amend himself, fix himself, to get to that level and that the potential that he could have been, right? And it had to go to Yaakov. If Esav wasn't ready, All right, Beis wasn't ready. This could have been Esav's bracha, and Yitzchak thought it should have been Esav's bracha. But it really wasn't, because Esav didn't live up to that, what he should have done, to his chelek that he should have had. And it really belonged to Yaakov, because Yaakov did develop it, did develop himself in the Olei Shem Ve'Ever, in his personality, in his chelek of a spiritual development that Esav just didn't have. V'nitlabesh ba'otan ha'mabushim shel Esav. And that chelek that Esav could have had, those malbushim, the outer manifestations of who Esav could have been, went over to Yaakov. Now, okay, I'm going to explain a little bit more. I'm basing myself a little bit on the source, what the Sfat Emet writes in source 10. Right, in source 10 after, let me speak a little bit more, and then if there's some question. Okay. Esav is the Ish Sadeh, the Ish Ha'olam. Right? Yaakov is the Ish Tam, Yoshev Ohalim, sitting inside the tent. Right? Now, what could have been, and what Esav could have developed, because that was his personality of who he had to be, but he could have been, it could have been like Zvulun and Yisachar. Esav being Zvulun, right? And but his life being focused in a way of, in a Derech Hashem, right? In supporting the endeavors of Yisachar. Right? And then Yisachar, it's so much easier that Yisachar can spend more time learning Torah and in spiritual development. And that would be Yisachar and Zvulun, knowing that the full purpose and the thrust and where it is and what the Emet is. But his role, in a sense, more the Olam Hazeh, right, if we're going to take it. The Olam Hazeh, but the Olam Hazeh of Torah and Mitzvot and of conquering and of getting the world ready, like he could have gone Ish Yodei Tzayit, gone out to the nations in Canaan and here and brought Dvar Hashem and got them ready for Yaakov, got them ready for there to be Malchut Hashem. But he didn't. He didn't. He was busy trapping the animals, hunting the animals, conniving, deceiving. He didn't develop what could have been into Zvulun, but he was into Avodah Zarah. In fact, the big proof, who did he marry? Remember? Right before the whole story with the brachot, what? Tell me. Right? The daughters of Yishmael, first the daughter of Yishmael, and then two women who were, that was the third one I think he took, but before he took the daughters of Canaan, Chitim, Basmat, and they're right before the brachot, it said. And even then, because it says it right before the brachot, even then, Yitzchak didn't see. It was right, it's the last pasuk there in Perek HaVav, the last two, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Hey, and then it starts with the brachot. And b'chol zot, Yitzchak wanted to give Esav the bracha, thought that Esav was ra'oi for the bracha of liot gvir lachecha, of really conquering the world and getting everything ready for Yaakov to learn Torah and for Malchut Hashem. Now, right, and Yitzchak thought that would be possible. Right, Rivka, realizing that it wasn't so, had to give this plan. But when he says Ani Esav b'chorecha, he means it. I have to be what you wanted Esav to be. He's not really lying according to the Sfat Emet. Right, you wanted and you thought, and he could have been, and he would have been, and he should have been, but he wasn't. You thought that Esav would be able to do this, and you wanted to give him this bracha. Because this isn't the bracha, the Sfat Emet is such a brilliant chak, the Sfat Emet, he never intended to give him the Birkat Abraham, the bracha of Am Yisrael, that he always saved for Yaakov. But he thought he would give him the bracha of Esav as Zvulun. Esav as Zvulun. But Rivka understood that Esav wasn't Zvulun. Esav wasn't Zvulun. Esav was the husband of these Canaanite women, was involved in paganism, was not that person, didn't develop his chelek that was kashur, la kadosh baruch hu, his chelek pnimi. And then
what has to happen. Am Yisrael have to be around. You can't only sit and learn Torah. There have to be their battles. So David HaMelech, I was looking recently in Shmuel, how many battles David had to, David Melech Yisrael, and how many battles, you know, and how many battles he had to fight, and in Canaan, and this and that, that we had to, it had to be within one person. That Yaakov had to usurp two personalities, two roles, right, for playing roles, right? That we thought there was Esav and Yaakov. And it could have been two, and they could have worked together, like Zvulun and Yisachar. But when it didn't, Rivka saw he is not a Zvulun, he's not a team player, he's doing his own thing. And that can't be, that he can't, if he's gonna have the bracha, he's gonna use it for his purposes. He's not gonna use it for the purposes of helping Yaakov, of helping bring Malchut Hashem, of helping bring Am Yisrael, of helping bring Torah to the world. He's not gonna do it. So he can't have that bracha. Esav needs that bracha. I'm sorry. Esav can't have that bracha. Yaakov needs the bracha. And when he says, I'm Esav, he's saying, because I know now that Esav won't do it. It won't play together. I have to be Esav also. I have to be what was intended, what could have been, what Yitzchak thought that Esav would be, and that he wanted to give him the bracha. And in a sense, putting Rav Shimshon Frohl Hirsch and Rivka showed him, no, it can't be. He's fooling you. Well, you thought that he could be, he can't be, right? And then also beautifully, this Hatamet brilliantly, he says, and that's why Leah, really, what should have been, what does the Midrash say, who should have married Leah?
Esav.
But it would have been that Esav, that would have been this Zvulun. But now Yaakov has to usurp everything that Esav could have been. Because Esav's in a different camp, in a sense, right? He's not part of the team of Am Yisrael, so to speak, of who could be Am Yisrael, right? And it's also with Ramaut there, the whole story there with Leah, but Yaakov becomes, in a sense, and that's why I call this year here when two are one, right? That the two Yaakov and Esav, what could have been Esav, right? What could have been. But lo zachal etaken et ma'asav Esav, right? He had the potential, and it should have been, but he couldn't have been. So Yaakov has to do that. Yaakov has to fight the battles, and Am Yisrael have to fight the battles and learn the Torah. And learn the Torah together. We don't have the outer other nations doing it together with us, or the Esav who would be able to do it for Yaakov. But Yaakov had to take on those roles that were originally intended for Esav, what Esav could have been, what Yitzchak thought, like that it was. Now I just wanted to show you, go back to the Psukim on the back of the second page there, where it says Bereishit Kafchet. You see? Like your brother, right, took from the Bnei Knan, you don't do that. Yaakov, kum lech padan arama, beit abetuel, abin mecha, bekatacha misham, misham ibnot laban achi mecha, bekel shaday yvarech otcha, viyavrecha, 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 vayita lekah alamim, vayiten lecha et birkat Abraham, lecha ulezarecha. See, that bracha, he didn't give them. Or he all along saved that bracha to give to Yaakov. But he wanted to give Esav a good bracha. Right? A good bracha that you'll be able to yiten lechalukim, tal shamayim, mishmanei aretz, a fine bracha. If he would deserve it, if he could have developed himself. And right, he couldn't. And in this way, that... Yaakov, right, had to step in. Rivka, right, Rivka, you know, kind of devising, pushing, organizing behind the scenes into Yaakov. But Yaakov, at that point, in a sense, realizing, according to the Sfat Emet, when he says Ani Esav b'chorecha, he's understanding what Rivka is telling him. You're going to have to be that Esav. Be what could have been what ASAP could have been. You're going to have to do it yourself. And I want to read in the Sfat Emet in number 10, in source 10, the third line. Ki ne Yaakov Avinu Alav Hashalom zecha lekach chelko shel Esav. He merited taking also that share, that personality of Esav, that maybe destiny in a sense, that destiny of Esav. Right? Kmo shekatuv beparsha kodemet ve'emet amar anochi Esav. Almost saying, I have to be Esav. Right? I have to be Esav. I have to, not physically, right? Not physically, but I have to be that role, right? That role, that destiny of Esav, ani Esav. Kishezacha lo tochelet, zacha lakachat Leah. Right? Shaita miyuchedet lo toha heara. Right? Leah was destined for that part of Esav. Now he's Esav, so he has to take Leah. Lachen Rachel hayta ahuva, ki hi hayta miyuchedet elav mamash. Right? Rachel was really for that very special part of Yaakov, but Leah also, and again, you know, Leah became an integral part. Leah hayta miyuchedet lechelko shel Esav, for that part of Esav that Yaakov incorporated within himself. And that's in a sense the gadlut of Yaakov realizing to set up Am Yisrael, he would have to incorporate some of the traits and the destiny and the abilities of Esav that are needed for Am Yisrael, for bringing more right Yirat Hashem, Malchut Shemayim, Torah to the world. Okay, anyway, interesting. I thought this Sfat Emet was something novel. Shem Shokal Hirsch wanted to share with you, Divrei Torah. Okay, if there are any questions on the shir or on the you, someone had a question before when I was started about this Sfat Emet.
I was wondering if it was going to affect the last
one. Oh, okay. There you got it. Right. A lot of times, that's what I'm saying. Let me, yeah. Someone, yeah.
Yeah, like we said that, the Sfat Emet said that, Yitzchak loved Esav for that Gan Eden component of potential that he had. So maybe it's my interpretation of the pasuk, but wouldn't he also love Yaakov for fulfilling that potential? Like, wouldn't he see that Yaakov had like really done to deserve that potential? So wouldn't he also love Yaakov for that?
Well, you know, first of all, it doesn't say he didn't love Yaakov. Rivka loved him more. You know, there was that, you know, Brina Levy suggested in her book, I think, that because Yitzchak was so spiritual himself, he relied on Esav. Maybe like his, he felt he may be more the Yitzchak. And somehow having a love and a connection to Esav, he wanted to be that and thought he was that Yitzchak. And Yaakov was more, you know, sometimes that's kind of a little bit the opposite, or he felt a more of a shleimut with, he definitely had Harat HaTov to Yitzchak. But sensing that Yaakov was, what here, with the Sfat Emet, then always sensing that Yaakov was the purer, but somehow his neshama was more, whatever, his ahava was more connected to Esav. Okay? Yes, we are.
Just picking up on a pattern that's often discussed in other parshanim, where basically at the beginning of Am Yisrael with the first generations of the Avot, there's always these two options of sons, and there's a choice made, and the heritage is passed on to one, and the other one is rejected, until finally Yaakov is able to pass it on to all of his sons. This is interesting in that the Sfat Emet has this premise that Esav would not have been rejected from this spiritual Yerusha, but rather both of them would have been
could have been
that. So I'm just wondering if along the lines of this, if you know of any commentaries discussing Ishmael and whether
There are. Yishmael, and we all know Yishmael, Yisrael, Chazar B'tshuva. There are. And it also, there are punishments that come to Yaakov, to Bnei Yisrael, for the Rama'ut, for what Sarah did to Hagar. Some say that Am Yisrael is still suffering today, with Yishmael being the unfortunately, our enemies that come from Yishmael. You know, we don't know exactly, but there also are those who say that it could have been in Yishmael, but lo zachu l'taken. You know, those who look at him, because it has to be based on the person's performance, on the person's neshama, and what he develops in his neshama. And Yishmael and Esau weren't able to overcome their whatever pagan tendencies and you know, tendencies of going against the Derech Hashem. You know, but yes, there are those who also speak about Yishmael, and you know, on the other hand, but the bottom line, you know, this is the Midrash stresses a lot. The bottom line, there was a lot of Avodah Zarah. And, you know, Sarasim, the Avodah Zarah, maybe other Avodah as well that were done, you know, exactly how, which way, but not, you know, not that they couldn't be that person that would be part of, you know, that would be part of Am Yisrael. But I think here, the what struck me and what kind of captured my heart in this document was that Yaakov had to usurp two roles, you know, like really ish gadol and ish emet that knew for Am Yisrael he had to take a certain savvy. I don't want to call it mirmah, but in a sense b'achicha b'mirmah, that he had to incorporate certain of these men of the world, this men of the world, in a bit of savvy to be able, you know, he had four wives, he had to deal with Laban, he had a lot of things that he had to deal with in facing the world, Yaakov, and it's always, you know, maseh avot siman lebanim, that we, while the main thing is, right, l'shevet ba'olel shoshen b'me'eder, but we have to have that role of also preparing ourselves and defending ourselves, and also in Eretz Yisrael, you know, living in Eretz Yisrael all the time, you know, being ready and being there and being, you know, having the tzava and taking care of ourselves along with the Torah, you know, right, Safra v'Seifa, you know, it's like in that we had to take that. It could have been, you know, that we wouldn't have had that as much, but somehow Yaakov realized and it had to be, and he had to take, sometimes you have to take more roles, you know, within yourself. Okay, my pleasure. And
I don't have any questions about Matan generally, like...
Right, there's you have some information here or on the website if anyone would like to come. Right, I need, or just the request.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You can do the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation.
With her baby.
What?
I yell at Israelis.
Yay.
With her baby.
Her baby's
I'm sure I didn't have a stomach for my baby before I come, but I'm sure she would want to. Thank you so much.
You're the twin?
No. One year older than Yoshua, who was in Yeshiva last year.
Right.
The twins are 14.
Ah, okay, you're not his twin.
No, I'm a year older.
You're a year older. Oh, okay. So you were in Israel 2 years ago? Okay.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Talia Seidman. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Montana.
Okay.
You said Brian Zeeby, she's my aunt.
Ah.
Yeah. So thinking about, like, I wanted to.
Yeah. Where you're from?
Pittsburgh Terry.
Yeah. Because you have a few brothers.
I have one brother.
No, you have, but
I meant
Brian.
Yes.
Yeah, my
father's older brother.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking, like, do you have a lot of students that come, like, a gap year, like, after undergraduate before graduate school?
Yeah,
you do.
For a year.
Yeah,
for a year. So we have. First of all, there are Israelis. There's some. You know, it's a program that's in Hebrew. It's called Ayanot. If you want to, come for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ayanot, and it's like it's not. It's 4 days a week, 7 hours, 7-8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can combine it with some volunteer work or with doing something else. And it's Tanaka and Gamara.
You said
it's Talia? It's a working at a high level.